Has a painting ever chilled you to your core? What led an eBay item to sell for 5 times the asking price? Can a painting truly be haunted? Today, we test the believability of the haunting of The Hands Resist Him.
Welcome to Believing the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual
and tell you whether or not we find it believable.
That is right. It's Tuesday in the future.
The 7th.
Because we're pre-recording this so that Charlie can have a grand old time with his family.
In grand old Florida.
That's right. And we can say that because you'll be back. Well, no, you'll be there.
I'll be mid-Florida.
People will be able to find you now.
That's true. I'll be in Disney Springs.
Where do you think you're going to be right now? Like, let's say, okay, let me paint this picture. Let's say somebody's going to listen to this Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern. Where do you think you'll be? What ride? What attraction?
I think I'm going to be in Magic Kingdom. So, the train one or Splash Mountain?
Okay, the train one.
I don't remember the name.
Is that where Mickey lives? Like, not the train station, not saying that, but like in the castle thing.
Yeah.
Have you ever spent the night in the castle thing?
No, I don't have $5 million.
So this week, we are tackling a topic very much unlike anything we've really done before. I would say probably the closest thing to it is Robert the Doll, just because it's an inanimate object that is supposedly haunted.
So this is like the same MCU as Robert the Doll.
Yes.
Yeah.
And whether or not you like it, it might be Marvel, it might be DC. if it doesn't quite hit it, might be DC. This could be the Batman of
this
the DC
the,
world.
This is the Bill Engvall or the Jeff Foxworthy. It might be DC if.
If you listen to an episode and you don't like it very much, it might be DC. But instead of a Key West Key Lime doll, we're talking about a painting that is called The Hands Resist Him. So we're talking about a painting, which isn't that fun unless you know what it looks like. So I'm going to describe the painting now. But if you, yes, you person listening right now, at your own discretion, because it is haunted, if you want to see what it looks like right now, unless you're literally listening to this when it drops, because we are sleeping.
Yes.
It comes out
3 a.m.
I make sure it's exactly midnight on the West Coast.
Yeah.
So we will be sleeping. I might not be sleeping.
Please don't message me when this comes out.
I might not be sleeping.
No, you probably won't be.
But it will be on our social media today. Sometime today, you can go on our social media and you can see what it looks like. But I will describe it so you get a good feeling. And also, I do want to say, I did hit up the current owner of the painting who has the copyright.
Wow.
And I asked them if we can use it for both social media and the website.
Yeah.
And they said yes.
That's awesome.
With a small caveat, which we'll get to later.
What, do we know their name?
Yeah,
is like, this a good place to put it or
it's
no?
It's Darren O'Neill.
Darren O'Neill.
Yeah.
Cool.
So let's describe the painting. The Hands Resist Him is an oil on canvas painting that is a 36 by 24 size. And if that means nothing to you, join the club.
That's big. 24 is 2 feet.
Yeah.
So 2 feet by 3 feet.
Yeah, you need enough space to get all the little demons and haunting creatures and ghosts in there. You don't want to skimp out.
Yeah, you got to put those in white ink so they don't show up like on a resume.
So it displays a young boy in a t-shirt, shorts, and crew socks, along with a super creepy, sad, black-eyed, life-size doll girl who's holding a dry cell, which is a type of electric battery, in her hand, which there's some speculation on that later. But we'll get to that. That's a tease. And they're both in pretty dim lighting. But where are they standing?
It looks a little bit like a blowtorch.
A blowtorch, yeah.
I think so.
Light his ass up. They're standing in front of a panel door, like a glass door.
Like a French door.
Yeah, French door. Yeah, French door. Panels, glass, squares, you know. So you can kind of see through it. And at the bottom half of the door, on the other side of the glass, essentially the other side of the door, appears to be a bunch of really creepy disembodied hands pressing against the glass and trying to either get out, grab the kids, haunt all of your dreams. Nothing good, probably, but
yeah,
it's definitely unsettling. I don't know. Do you get creepy or sad vibes when you look at it?
Mix. Lil' Con A, Lil' Con B. I
think he's listening to All Too Well. 10-minute version.
Yes.
By Tay-Tay. Anyway, it is known as one of the most haunted artworks of all time. So now that you have somewhat of a visual, again, feel free to check out our social if you want to actually see what it looks like. Or Google it. I guess you could Google it.
No. Check our social.
Yeah, you probably should. You know what? You can only see it if you follow us. It's really strange. Let's talk about the artist and his interpretation of it. Because believe it or not, he didn't go into this thinking, yeah, I'm going to haunt some people, make them terrified to fall asleep, make kids run in terror. It was not like that.
So he didn't make his base coat with like a pendulum, like a pentagram seal?
No.
Okay.
Nope. So the hands resistant was painted by Bill Stoneham in 1972. And according to Bill, the young boy depicted in the painting is actually a younger version of himself based on a picture that his wife showed him. I feel like it's, what's the humor? It feels self-deprecating. Yeah. Like when we make jokes and we're self-deprecating, we did that a lot when we were a band. Like,
yes.
Too much. Maybe this is him being self-deprecating as an artist. He's like, well, I feel like shit. Maybe I'll just draw myself like shit. He's pretty scary.
Yeah. It's a kid that means business.
Yeah. And he claims that the doorway that he's standing in front of is the dividing line between the real world and fantasy, and that the life-size doll is intended to be his escort to the other side, and that all these hands, these creepy, disembodied hands pushing against the glass, represent the many opportunities and possibilities of what the other existence could hold. Maybe?
Hmm? I don't know. Sure. It feels a little bit like a parallel universe kind of thing.
Yeah. But the crazy thing about it is, and I'm assuming many of our listeners are artists, because I feel like we cultivate a creative crowd.
I hope so.
It's very interesting and a little unnerving that you create with intention. Sometimes I guess you don't, like a doodle, maybe. Maybe it's a subconscious intention. But you create with intention. You know what you're trying to do. You know what you're trying to say. And then you put it out into the world. And whether it was meant to be ambiguous or you think your meaning is concrete, people can interpret your art in so many different ways.
That is very true. I mean, I write poems and people see different stuff than I do in the poems.
Yeah, it's part of, I think, the vulnerability of a creative person in terms of just putting it out there and hoping it lands and then hoping you don't have to defend yourself later.
Yeah, but you will.
You will, especially if you create a haunted painting.
Yeah.
So a little bit about Bill. He was born in 1947. He never knew his biological parents. He was adopted from an orphanage when he was just 9 months old.
That's cold.
Yeah. And he moved from Chicago to California, where he eventually bounced from job to job. Despite considering himself an independent artist, which don't we all, he struggled to make a living as a professional painter, as it wasn't providing him the income that he needed to survive. Should have come to Ohio. You have low cost of living here in season. Anyway, as luck would have it, all of that changed in 1972 when Charles Fangarden Gallery reached out to Bill and offered a 2-year contract to create 2 different pieces of artwork a month. And he would make $200 per painting.
So $400 a month?
In the 70s.
That's pretty good, right?
Yeah, they see him rolling. So, needing to create to produce art to provide for his family, he was searching far and wide for inspiration. Apparently, his first wife, Rowan, that might not be how you say that, wrote a poem in 1971 that was based on the very sad and tragic fact that Bill never had the opportunity to meet his biological family. Here is that poem.
Oh, okay.
Quote, "He is of the seeing visions. His strokes reveal them. In a rush of color, of madness, of mystics. And his head is the highest center. It must confront its enemy. The hands resist him, like the secret of his birth. His presence is the sanctum heartbeat, felt in darkness and in passion. its sound the sole gift to that silence. Unquote. Did you see the line that stuck out there?
Yeah, it was like a in red.
Yeah, yeah, it was underlined. Like, you spelled it wrong. Hands is not capitalized. Nor does it have a Z, Roanne. Well, that line stuck out to Bill, and he decided this is what it's going to be called. Because he needed Brute's artwork to provide for his family. So he's like, I'm going to run with that title. And what am I going to paint about? And his wife is like, I got you, fam. And she found an old photograph from a family album he had when he was just 5 years old in 1952 and living in Chicago with his adopted grandmother. So that's kind of where it came from. He really kind of, you know, is it him or is it Roanne? Because the poem was hers, the title came from her poem, and she's the one that gave him the photo that kind of sparked it. Maybe she's doing some spooky stuff. And, like, what if he's just the mechanism or the conduit to what she... Like, what if she's the mastermind, is what I'm saying.
Like, he's the catalyst to her something.
Not... I don't know about... He's like, the tool... He is the mechanism that she is using to create the haunting that she wants to put out in the world. Because I don't have anything else about other wives, but they were very clear when they said first wife. You don't typically say first wife when they mean only wife.
That's true.
You should say that to Steph when you go home. Like, you are my favorite first wife.
No.
See how that goes. She's like, I'll have a poem for you. It's called Get Out. So, again, he creates this artwork. He's being hired by the Fangarn Gallery, and while he's had multiple artworks displayed there, the only painting that was sold was The Hands Resist Him in 1974, which was actually purchased by well-known actor at the time, John Marley, which is from the film...
The Godfather.
Yes.
John Marley. Like Bob Marley?
Except John, and he's very white. Oh. But you'll know, even... Have you seen The Godfather?
Nope.
You'll still know the scene. He is the guy, he's Jack Waltz. He's the film executive who wakes up with the horse's head in his bed.
Oh, I gotcha.
Iconic moment. Well, the whole movie is pretty iconic, in my opinion. I do think, like, I feel like if you like films, you're like, it has to be in the top three. I actually do think it's top five. I actually really love The Godfather.
Maybe I have seen it like one time.
You might have.
I don't think it has that much of an impression on me.
But I like mob mafia stuff. That entertains me. Luckily, it wasn't a Kelpie's head. Yeah.
Have you seen Sopranos?
No.
Oh, dude, you probably like it a lot, actually.
I probably would. That's like one that's on my radar. There's so many really good movies that I know I would like that I just haven't seen. And it's like I'm milking them. So apparently, this John Marley paid a pretty penny for the artwork. I don't have the exact amount.
A horse head?
He's like, here, take this. It's an actual prop. Just kidding. It's a real horse. Where's the painting? But in addition to actually selling the painting, making a profit, all that good stuff, providing for his first wife, the painting also gathered Bill's first ever press acknowledgement, which came in the form of a review by very noted art critic Henry Seldes.
Okay.
He doesn't say if it was good or bad, it's creepy or not creepy.
So that's a painting.
He's like, yes, it is. Like, and wow, I'm reviewing Henry. It right now.
Thank Indeed. You, Henry.
It was a very small call. It was a centimeter by a millimeter.
Oof.
So, all seems right in the world, right? I mean, Bill loves to paint.
Sounds pretty good.
Painted a picture while reminiscing or lamenting his past, whichever side you want to see. He made some dough. The guy from The Godfather must love creepy art and bought it. Take the painting, leave the horse's head. It's all good, right? Well, not for long. See, a string of bad juju happened for all the major players outside of Bill and his wife. They're fine. I mean, they might be divorced at this point. I don't know. We don't get into that. But bad juju for the people that interacted with the painting between 1978 and 1984. All three men that had been close to Bill, this painting had interacted with it, died.
Oh.
The art critic, Seldes, died in 1978 from what was reported as potential suicide without any further details.
Oh, dang.
On the night before his 53rd birthday. The gallery owner, Fangarden, died in 1981 from an unknown cause at the age of 60. And John Marley, the Godfather actor and owner of the painting at the time, died in 1984 following open heart surgery at the age of 76.
Yeah, that's not a mystery, though.
The open heart surgery one?
Yeah.
No.
That reminds me of when we talked about the movie sets.
Yeah.
And all people had died. It's like,
for, like, is Poltergeist and stuff.
Is that coincidence or is that coincidence?
Hey, I'm leaving that 100% to the discussion.
Okay. Okay.
Right now, I'm bought in. I'm bought in.
All
right.
I'm just poking holes.
And I would be doing the same had the positions be changed. So for about 25 years or so, the painting was out of the public's eye, probably for the best. It's pretty terrifying. The next time the hands resist him made news was in the famous 2000 eBay listing. So let's explain how we got to that point.
Okay.
So in the year 2000, a woman from California named Lucy found the original painting near this brewery, like behind the brewery. Like it was kind of, I don't know if it was like in the trash or if it was like thrown out. It was just behind there. Bad condition. And she was like, oh, this is sad. What a nice painting. Why is it out here all abandoned and such? This is nice artwork. I'm going to take this home, right?
Sure.
So she takes it home. All's good because, you know, it's the beginning of the movie. There are probably a couple jump scares with some raccoons and shit, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about when things became strange, when things became unexplainable in Lucy's home. Her 4-year-old daughter told her mother, Lucy, that people in the painting would not let her sleep at night. Lucy, obviously a little confused, asked her daughter what she meant. She said that the boy and the girl doll would come to life at night and fight.
Fight?
Fight.
Like punching, fighting?
Or I don't
like...
think she clarified.
Okay.
So naturally, Lucy was a bit freaked out, a little concerned, but she was willing to shrug it off. But the more and more she thought about it, and nagged at her. And to be honest, it freaked her out too. So she asked her husband to set up a motion-triggered camera in their daughter's room just to be sure and hopefully get some peace of mind.
So the little boy would take his shirt off, put on golden gloves, and the doll ding, would ding. Take off their shirt and they'd box.
Next, fighting Jake Paul, haunted boy from the hands resist him.
I'd watch that fight.
$60 on pay-per-view, but first opening up a blade of grass versus a basketball. Listen, I think Jake Paul or Logan Paul, whichever Paul you want, I think they would fight a painting before they would actually fight a real boxer.
Oof, you're probably right though.
Just saying. I'm not saying they're not entertaining, and they've worked for their money. They've found the secret cheat code to get people's attention, so I'm not knocking them for that. I'm just saying, think they're great boxers, but they haven't actually boxed boxers yet, or great boxers.
They
yet.
Could beat me, but that's not saying much.
They could destroy me.
Yeah.
But not many people could. Yeah. That doesn't, you don't get qualified for anything for beating me up. Anyway, back to Lucy. They were shocked to find that the motion-triggered camera actually confirmed their daughter's story. Pictures showed the young boy crawling, trying to escape the painting. In a separate photo they captured, the originally expressionless doll now appeared angry and no longer had that dry cell battery in her hand, but she had a gun and was pointing it directly at the young boy's back. Now this was officially Lucy's fuck it moment. So instead of burning, burying, or blowing up the painting, she decided she was going to do the responsible thing. List it on eBay.
Make a little bit of cash.
Yeah, let's make this someone else's problem. But as she's listing this up on eBay, she did have in the kindness of her heart to create a warning. And they went as far as to actually include a disclaimer for the potential buyer. Here is the original text that was in the eBay description for the hands resist him. Quote, "When we received this painting, we thought it was really good art. A picker had found it abandoned behind an old brewery. At the time, we wondered a little why a seemingly perfectly fine painting would be discarded like that. Today, we don't." That's in parentheses. "One morning, our 4.5-year-old daughter claimed that the children in the picture were fighting and coming into the room during the night. Now, I don't believe in UFOs or Elvis being alive, but my husband was alarmed. To my amusement, he set up a motion-triggered camera for the night. After three nights, there were pictures. The last two pictures shown are from that stakeout. After seeing the boy seemingly exit the painting under threat, we decided the painting has got to go. Please judge for yourself. But before you do, please read the following warning and disclaimer. Warning! Do not bid on this painting if you are susceptible to stress-related disease, faint of heart, or are unfamiliar with supernatural events. By bidding on this painting, you agree to release the owners of all liability in relation to the sale or any events happening after the sale that might be contributed to this painting. This painting may or may not possess supernatural powers that could impact or change your life. However, by bidding, you agree to exclusively bid on the value of the artwork with disregard to the last two photos featured in this auction and hold the owners harmless in regard to them and their impact expressed or implied. Quote.
Her husband's a lawyer.
Yes. So, like wildfire, news of this eerie and supernatural paintings listing on eBay spread throughout the internet, while folks forwarding links and writing their own pages and blogs about this creepy painting literally made it blow up.
Do you have the pictures of the eBay?
They were not included in the articles. I only was able to get the text description.
Damn.
It's probably, we'll talk about it in the discussion. So it got so much widespread attention that the potentially haunted painting was not just affecting the owners. Because it got so involved online, so many people were getting their little peepers on it. It was actually legitimately affecting people who were looking at this eBay listing of the Hands Were System. You ready to hear about some things people experience? They're very short. Like, these are like, bah, 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 bah. And it's a lot of some folks, some people, some say.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm ready. Tyler, I hate lines so much.
Yeah, me too.
No, really, I hate lines. I hate wasting my time and my...
Chill, dude. With Stamps.com, you don't have to wait in lines anymore.
Oh, yeah, you're right. And on top of that, they let you compare rates, print labels, and access exclusive discounts on UPS and USPS services.
Who doesn't love exclusive stuff?
Sounds like it would be super valuable to all you small business owners or folks running Etsy shop side hustles.
That's right. Whether you're selling Bigfoot in a Santa suit plush figurines or Not Deer reindeer lawn ornaments, Stamps.com gives you all the shipping services you need without the hustle and bustle of driving to the nearest post office.
So how can you save time and money with Stamps.com?
Sign up with the promo code POD, P-O-D, and you'll get a four-week trial, free postage, and a digital scale.
What if I'm not satisfied?
No worries. Stamps.com is confident you'll love their services, but there's no long-term commitments or contracts.
So go to Stamps.com and click the microphone at the top of the page and use the promo code POD, P-O-D.
Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again. Some folks reported just feeling a little nauseous.
Okay.
Maybe it was that Burger King. Some claim that children who saw the eBay listing became uncontrollable and would run away screaming in fright. Some people claimed that simply viewing the photos of the painting made them feel ill. Others would completely black out or lose hours at a time, regaining consciousness and confused what had happened.
Oh my God, imagine doing that before work. And then you wake up, you're like,
trying to explain to your boss, work. Like, sorry, sir, I was looking at, or ma'am, I was looking at eBay listing.
They're like, cool, why are you late?
Like, that's fine, just show me the picture. It's like, I'd really rather not. And then you show the boss, and then the boss wakes up at the end of the shift.
Oh, and they're like,
what happened?
I get it.
It's just a chain thing. It's like, if you don't pass the picture of the haunted hands along, a creepy demon girl is going to come and eat all your leftover Halloween candy. Some people said they started hearing whispered, hush voices in their house after viewing the painting. Others claimed When they stopped looking at the painting, they were touched by an invisible force. One lady said she felt a powerful grip around her throat, choking her while she was viewing the painting. One potential buyer saw the listing on his computer and said that the moment he saw the painting on the monitor, it turned white and a blast of heat began to emit out of it through the computer screen.
I think his computer just blew up.
He even began crying for no reason. Apparently, a lot of people reported having difficulty breathing. Now, this is the most believable one, no matter what anyone says. One person said they tried to print the image, but had a printer malfunction.
Yeah.
I believe it. Haunted or not, I think every printer is haunted. If you listen to our Loveland Frogman episode, you know passionately how we feel about printers.
Man, I almost took a baseball bat to the printer at work today, the other day.
I don't blame you. I don't trust printers. I don't trust printers.
No, they act like they're in 1999.
It's not anymore. No. I trust a Jeffrey Dahmer recipe over a printer. Okay, so that's out, right? So this is, so here's what's happening. People found portrait thrown away, essentially. Bring it in. It's haunted. They claim it's haunted. They list it on eBay. It gets spread across the internet. A bunch of people come out and say they're having horrific experiences just from viewing the painting on eBay. And then there's Bill.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, wait a minute. He painted this portrait literally of himself, so to speak, and it's causing all of this anguish.
Yeah.
So this brings me back to something I talked about earlier, perspective. So Charlie, now I ask you this question. How would you feel if something you created very intimately, indirectly caused so many people discomfort? We'll just say discomfort.
I feel very sad. That's how I would feel. I feel sad.
Would you feel compelled to speak on it? Or would you just let the chips fall where they may?
If someone specifically asked me, I would. But not without being asked, prompted.
Charlie's recorded as saying, my bad, B. And that's it. Those are all the questions I'll be taking today. The eBay listing ended up being viewed by more than 30,000 people. And here's where the real conspiracy, in my opinion, of why this all happened takes place. Maybe I'm a pessimistic capitalist, but that's kind of where I'm at. The initial bid for the painting was $199, which ironically is $1 less than what Bill got paid to make it literally like 30 years earlier. But inflation kicked in. It got to the point by so many people seeing it, all these stories spreading, like 30,000 views, it ended up selling for $1,025.
That's a lot more.
Not bad to get rid of a haunted painting from your house. Wish I could sell my printer for that much. The buyer, Kim Smith of Perception Gallery in Grand Rapids, Michigan, eventually contacted Bill Stoneham and pretty much told him all this craziness being attributed to the painting, the eBay listing, what people were claiming. And Bill was like, WTF, mate. But he really was surprised because he really had no intention of it being paranormal.
Right, no.
Like, it was just a painting I need to paint. It was just one of two per month to pay bills, to feed his first wife, second wife. We don't know how many wives there are. And apparently, about a month after purchasing The Hands Resist Him, the new owner, Kim Smith, was approached by the paranormal website, quote, surfingtheapocalypse.com, and asked about how things were going with this new allegedly haunted painting. And Smith, the owner, told them, quote, I wish I could report a bizarre happening or mind possession type thing, but the unusual thing started happening with the first email and counting. Prayers and quotes from the scriptures from a man of faith. Advice as to how to cleanse my residence of this evil thing from a Native American shaman in Mississippi. Reports of people being repulsed, made physically ill, or suffering from a blackout mind control experience. Unquote. So today, artwork is still in Kim Smith's possession. Doesn't really want to sell it. Hasn't really experienced anything paranormal. Just a bunch of people reaching out, expecting there to be something paranormal.
Yeah.
I think it's hard for people to see everything that Lucy was claiming from eBay, and then all these people claiming that they were having paranormal experiences because of it.
Yeah.
And then it goes to this gallery, and it's kind of like, you know, it is what it is. Apparently, Smith's sons don't want to keep, quote, the most haunted painting in the world in their home. So the original artwork rests in the back of the room of their gallery, the Perception Fine Art Gallery, locked away. And they only bring it out probably like Halloween, and or if people special request or pay to see it, perhaps.
You gotta get in touch with
Zach Bagans.
Yes. That's his thing.
I think he actually reached out to Bill about buying it or something like that. There was something I saw from about him. Because there are more, which we'll get to. Because of a novel though, and I kind of already mentioned it, but Darren O'Neill owns copyright properties and web publishing rights to the image because he published a book in 2016, which is called The Hands Resist Him, Be Careful What You Bid For. I do recommend you checking it out. He seems really awesome, and I appreciate the fact that we were allowed to use it on the episode.
Yeah.
And I actually, if I had more time, I would have picked it up and read it, but I'm still like 15 months behind on my Hat Man stuff.
Yeah, this is a crash course for Vacation Charlie.
There you go. Also, I guess it's more of a fictionalized, like it's based on the painting, and mm-hmm. it's about the painting, but it's not like people's real experiences with the painting. It's there's a narrative.
It's like a movie based off something.
This is probably more real than some of the movies that are based on. But yes, there's a gotcha. Fake narrative tied into a real experience. But O'Neill does claim that he had a supernatural experience with the painting. Quote, I first saw it online when I was living in Dubai, Flex. I printed it out. And I left it on a side table next to some other documents printed on the same printer with the same paper. Anyway, I went to Italy for a month. Flex. When I came back, the air conditioning had gone awry. Everything was green mold. The TV, bed sheets, my daughter's cot and clothing, all of my suits in the closets, and the documents I had printed, all green. But right next to them, the only thing that was perfectly untouched was the printout of the painting. Boom, boom, boom.
I know, everything's green.
It's all green. So, the hands resist him was not the only thing. Well, clearly it wasn't the only thing that Bill created. But he actually like turned it into like a saga, so to speak. I think there's four, so I think the sagas are
in. Sure, yeah.
But there is the resistance at the threshold of revelations, and there is the hands invent him. And apparently it ends his last one, which came out this year in 2021, is just called What Remains.
Wow.
So I don't know if there's a particular way you're supposed to view them. I know there's prequels, there's sequels, there's squeakles, there's everything you would want with these creepy, terrifying paintings. He's probably like, wow, this has kind of made me famous. Maybe I do have some more haunted stuff. But let me ask you, Charlie, why was he not able to replicate another haunted painting?
Maybe his first wife didn't cast a curse on him. Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding. It's not about you, Bill. It's not about you. It's about your first wife. And even if you found her on some corner of this planet and you were like, please, I need to make another haunted painting, it's never going to happen because she's never going to write another poem about you, bro. So with that said, let's discuss. All right, discussion time. There's a lot. We have haunted paintings. We have people claiming to experience things over the internet. We have people saying it's haunted to potentially drive up a price. All right, gloves are coming off now.
Okay.
Like I'm not like the director said cut. I'm no longer team painting. I'm in the real world now.
Okay.
I'm with you now. I already know I'm with you. I know I'm with you. Like, is this going to lead to another one-star review that says we're just making fun of stuff? Potentially.
Probably, yeah.
Potentially.
Yeah.
But let's start in the far out and then work our way back.
Yeah.
Far out world. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What could actually cause a painting to be haunted?
Blood.
Like, if you paint with blood?
Well, I mean, like, blood spilling on it, like, death around okay. it. Yeah, I did say blood rather abstractly. I mean, like...
blood. Just blood. A lot of blood.
Like, death around a painting. Or the idea of trapping something, some soul inside of a painting.
What if you stab somebody with your paintbrush, kill them, and then the blood that's on the paintbrush, you do like just like a little smiley. You probably don't have a lot. You have to do it fast because it's going to dry.
Yeah.
So you'd have to do, you'd have to premeditate on what you're going to paint. Mm-hmm. Don't be the person that kills someone with a paintbrush without knowing what you're going to paint.
Yeah.
You have to know. I don't want to say you should have the easel ready, but I'm looking out for you. All right. I would have the person in there with the easel ready.
Okay. You know. Are you ready? I got to get this painting done. What are we doing? Yeah.
What about intent? We've kind of talked about this before when it came to the cardboard Ouija board. Like, it didn't matter that it wasn't legitimate. And by legitimate, I mean by Hasbro. Like, the fact that they were treating this cardboard Ouija board with the same intent that they would anything is what led to it. That's kind of what we came to terms
with. Yeah, I think intent's very important.
Do you think intent alone could cause a haunted painting?
Yeah. I think so. Because that's even more energy than you're putting into a cardboard Ouija board, right? That's a lot more energy.
Yeah.
But you focus on it longer and you have that same intention throughout the whole thing. Yeah, I think so.
See, this is why I'm going far out and then working our way in. So I'm establishing there is a world, a story, a realm where you could believe in a haunted painting.
Absolutely.
Not necessarily this one, but one in general.
Yes.
Okay. Maybe a conduit too. You know what I mean? Like, sure. When we talk about like, well, we haven't talked about the Dybbuk box, but like spirits attaching to items. Like, mm-hmm. You could say Robert the doll was a conduit. Like, for sure. Was the doll itself haunted or did a spirit latch something
like around it?
Right. Okay. So let's work our way back. Why this specific painting though? Because, okay, the through line with the wife was kind of a joke. That was for entertainment. I hope it made you laugh at least once. I don't think that the first wife intended it to be a haunting.
I don't think so. Painting. It's like a sweet thing.
She literally wrote a poem about him because she felt bad for him because he never knew his parents. So he didn't have intention of it being haunted. There's nothing evil about why.
Yeah, no, there's no.
It's a picture of him and it's from his wife, who I assume he loved at the time's poem. But all of that being said, it is visually disturbing.
Yeah, it is strange. It's creepy.
That's the disconnect for me. It's like the intent is not meant for it to be creepy or haunted. And if you look at all the ingredients, it's like when you look at all the ingredients alone, it's like, okay, there's cherries and there's pie crust and there's whipped cream. And it's like, oh, okay, mix it together, put it in. It's like, oh, it's Brussels sprouts, you know, something you don't like. Although I've had some good Brussels sprouts.
Before. Yeah, you vegetarian.
Honey truffle. But what I'm saying is that the ingredients to this painting versus what it became, this disturbing looking photo, well, not photo, this disturbing looking painting portrait, they don't seem to add up to me. Like, if you don't act surprised, if you know what I mean, like if you punch someone and they say, ow, don't act surprised. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, you created this creepy looking picture. So when people say it might be haunted, wait, oh my God, like,
why would you be shocked?
Yeah. And if you look at his other portraits, or paintings in general, which you should go to his website or just search Bill Stoneham. It's creepy stuff. Like, it's not, it all kind of has
it's just
that.
Like his style.
Yeah. It's kind of his thing.
His American Gothic.
Okay. So let's move on to this then. I agree with you 100%. I just didn't do it in the moment. The deaths, it's 6 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's 6 years. It was not like they were all unknown causes. The potentially reported suicide is probably the only one, mm-hmm. but
it's not like they all like touched it at the same time and said, well, time to go. And then they all exploded.
Right. And you know, what's a bummer. One of the articles that I saw had the years correct where it was, I don't have it in front of me. It was like 1978 to 1984, mm-hmm. like a 6 year time span. I saw multiple other articles where it was like, and they all died within a year of each other. I'm like, hold up. I need to verify this.
Yeah,
and I actually checked every single person, which Fanghart was not easy to find. but all their deaths matched with the original article, mm-hmm. where it was between those 6 years. So it just feels like they're trying to make something out of nothing.
So people exaggerated.
Yes. Because mm-hmm. all dying within a year sounds a lot more ominous than they all died within 6 years.
Yeah, it does.
So there's that. And this seems, I don't want to say obvious. There's one aspect that I don't have a clear answer for. I'm going to save that for last because I think that's the most interesting. But I want to say this. To me, It feels like a genius marketing tactic by Lucy. We don't know. It would be, you know, who would be the interesting person to talk to? Lucy's daughter.
Yeah, the 4-year-old.
Yes. If she truly thought that the painting was haunted, she thought the kids were moving and all that stuff, I'm 100% more bought in. But all we're getting is Lucy's perspective on her daughter. What Lucy says her daughter said. What Lucy says, and I'm not making Lucy out to be a bad person. I mean, it could have been her husband too. And also, they're not being bad people. All of marketing is manipulation. I know, I'm in marketing. It's all about manipulating you to get you to buy or sell. And clearly it worked. She started it out at $199, $200, and it got up to over $1,000. Why? Because it drummed up interest. It went viral before viral was a thing. Do you know that Facebook spends thousands, probably millions actually, because I think Zuckerberg is putting $10 billion a year into the metaverse. They spend millions of dollars on psychologists just to research how to make Facebook and everything more addicting. It's scary, but that's the world. That's how it works.
Yes.
I didn't know you spoke Italian. So I'm not saying this to paint them. I mean, maybe Lucy's not even a real name.
She's only 20. She's about 25 now. The 4-year-old?
Yeah.
She's not that much younger.
She's probably on Facebook.
I guarantee she is.
I'm not painting them to be out. I'm not trying to make them out to be the bad people. I'm not saying they're a bad person. You know what I mean? They're right, literally drumming up interest. But yes. What I'm saying is do they fabricate all of this horror to make it more appealing, which is ironic because you'd almost want to, but it, you know, it's like the reverse psychology, like warning, you know what? Probably don't even look at this. Don't look at this right now. Don't up the bid. Yep. Don't do, you know what? You probably exactly. Shouldn't keep walking. You don't want, trust me. You don't want to see this. You don't want to look at this. This mm-hmm. is too scary for you. It's like when a horror movie's marketing campaign shows the audience being too scared to watch the film.
Yeah.
It's like the green, like, it's all like
the night vision.
Night vision. Oh my God, I can't watch. It's too scary. It's
me just, watching any horror movie.
It's challenging you. It's saying it's probably too scary. You probably shouldn't watch this. And you got mm-hmm. guys like, I ain't scared of nothing.
And then me in the corner peeing my pants.
Yes. You did really good during The Evil Dead, though.
Oh, I no, like, I bit my tongue the whole time.
So I'm not saying that they're bad. I'm just saying it could have been a ploy. The interesting thing would be if the motion capture thing was true. I think it's just darker versions of the photo where it captures in different lighting. I don't think there's a photo that exists of the boy crawling out.
It's creepy to think about, though.
I think you could shade it in a certain way where it made it look like she was holding a gun.
Yes.
But if you just look at it close up or you zoom in, you can see it's not. It's a battery thing. Silly. So that's one thing. I think she did it just to garner more interest, with the caveat that I would like to hear the perspective of the daughter.
I would too.
So here's, I think, the most interesting thing about all of it. The digital mass hysteria. All these people claiming that they were experiencing many, many different things just based on looking at it. From getting physically touched, from getting choked, to blacking out, to kids running and screaming in terror. What do you make of all that?
I have two things to say about that. I think with that kind of online manipulation, if it is manipulation, it's very easy for people to get excited and bandwagon.
So conformity.
Yes. Yeah. Like, oh yeah, I definitely had an experience looking at this photo.
Yeah, I agree. And my reference is exactly what you're talking about. I have in my notes here going back to the Mandela Effect. Episode yes. 2
yeah.
mm-hmm. of Bleeding Bizarre. When we talk about how people will buy into things because you want to be a part of it. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Even if, like, the group think, right? Group think, yeah. I think is what we actually called it. Now, not that we came up with that. That's what it's called. But even if you don't truly believe something, you want to buy in. So I don't think it's they tricked themselves into making it happen. That might be the case for some people and attribute it to it. Some of it's probably made up just so that they have a story to tell their friends.
And it helps build the lore of this thing, too.
Yeah, but made them an extra $800.
Yeah.
But it could be like, oh, did you guys see that eBay painting? No, why? Oh, it's haunted because I did it.
Makes you black out.
Yeah, that's why I missed school the last 3 days.
Yeah.
Not because of those tests I didn't study for. And, it, you know, today's pizza dipper day, so I'm back. No, I totally agree. We are 100% on the same page. Yeah. I think it's conformity. I think it's groupthink. Because, I mean, it's online now. Yeah, it's not on eBay, but you can, I haven't heard anything about people going online and seeing it now.
Yeah.
Because even though the actual portrait is locked away, I keep interchanging painting and portrait. I know there's probably like a handful of like art major people who have really good careers in art and other words that are similes of art. I apologize.
My untrained ear does not hear the difference.
Yeah, to me, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I wrote author a couple times accidentally, so I really apologize. I might have said it a couple times.
I remember my second point. Are there any names with the people that wrote about the hysteria?
Absolutely not.
Exactly.
Hell no. Nobody's putting that on wax.
Yeah, no one put that on their name.
No. It's just, it's fun.
Yeah.
It's entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the thing. It's like, you can see it online now. How come it's not? The most believable thing is the printer.
Yes.
Every printer it must be haunted.
My biggest thing with this haunted picture is there's no reason why it would be haunted.
Other than the fact that it is just aesthetically creepy.
Yeah.
That's the only reason.
Mm-hmm.
It would almost be a little bit more unusual if it was a pretty photo that had all this negative creepiness attached to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's kind of like, it's like the Annabelle doll in the films versus the Annabelle doll in real life.
Yes.
Like in the films, it's like this creepy, like you just look at it and be like, well, that's demented and haunted.
Yeah,
and
yeah, kick that films. Out.
But then you look in real life and it's a Raggedy Ann doll.
Mm-hmm.
So it's to me, it's actually creepier. I'm glad it is the way it is in the real world, where the Raggedy Ann doll that it seems
innocent
and sweet. Unsuspecting
yeah.
is what is supposedly, you know, terrifying and haunted, mm-hmm. as opposed to the film one, which they did what they're supposed to do as a film.
Yes.
They made it look terrifying. But I just can't imagine, like, I'm going to buy this one. I never want to sleep again. I will say this, though. I finished these notes last night, which we're in November in the real world. I hope everybody's having a fantastic December. And you don't celebrate this, but it is Pearl Harbor Day. Like, I don't know what you...
The day that lives in infamy.
Yeah, but what do you say? Like,
happy...
Nope. I think it's in remembrance of Pearl Harbor.
I think you're right. There you go.
Yeah, just acknowledging that. Yeah. But anyway, back in November, back it up last month, before Thanksgiving even, when I finished the notes last night, I did kind of look at it for like 30 seconds, I wanted to make sure I was prepared. I wanted to like look at it, make sure nothing slipped through the cracks.
Mm-hmm.
I will say I was creeped out.
It's a creepy photo.
Yeah, but I mean, I've done creepier topics than this story, than this painting, and been less creeped out at night going to bed than I was last night.
Did you have a visual?
Of?
The topic that was creepier.
That's a good point. I don't know, staring at it, it was creepy. Like, I went to the kitchen, and my dining room was very, very dark.
You also have that glass door.
I do. There's a lot of glass in my house. Yeah. I don't throw stones, I promise. And I was just getting creepy feelings, and it doesn't happen often. It was nowhere near when we did the devil's...
The Ouija board demon.
The Ouija board demon, yeah. It wasn't as intense as that, but I just want to give it that credit. I've kind of shit on it the last 20 minutes, so I do want to say... After viewing it, doing all this, I did get creeped out. What do you rate it?
I rate this the lowest skeptical I can give it. Not unbelievable, but very low skeptical.
And I will go a step further, and I will say unbelievable. Except printers. Them shits are haunted. So that is our episode on the Hans Resistem, the haunted painting. No matter what anyone says about it, whether I say it's unbelievable, whether Charlie says it's skeptical, whether Charlie makes fun of it, makes you want to leave a bad review, no matter what, the only thing that we cannot take away from it is that it is aesthetically creepy.
That's fact.
It is creepy. If you have not done so yet, go to our social, check it out. Let us know if you black out for a couple of hours. Let us know if someone grabs you around your throat and says, "It's spooky, isn't it? Real spooky."
They won't let it go until you agree.
Yeah, they're going to choke you out. Like, how did they say skeptical my ass? But if you really did enjoy the episode and you want to let us know about it, and you just happen to be on Apple devices,
yeah,
an Apple iPhone, mm-hmm. just an iPhone, I know that's a lot of variables. But if you are the lucky few that hit every single one of them, make sure you go to Bleeming Bazaar on Apple and leave us a 5-star review. Tell us how much you love it. Oh, man, that's great. It's totally creepy. You guys are wrong, but I still love you. I listen every Tuesday. Or just say, it's pretty cool.
There you go. Perfect. And if you're liking the show a lot and you want to hear more of us, we've got so much stuff on Patreon. There's now we've built a back catalog at this point, and it's a lot of fun to listen to. Like, oh, man, Charlie lost here. Oh, Charlie lost there. He keeps losing. He's a loser.
I'm just saying, if we were on my bookie or something like that and you get a bet, it's kind of like Tyler minus 300. And there's a handful of you out there that know when I'm speaking. Not that it
like. Yeah, odds are not on me. I am like the last
Charlie's.
Horse.
You can bet Charlie and get like a plus 500.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can bet me the money line. And
yeah, anyway. my going rate is not good.
No.
But it's fun to listen to.
100% fun. Guaranteed. No betting. You don't even need to bet. Guaranteed good time.
And we're talking about the games on Patreon, by the way.
A lot of games on Patreon. There's a lot of stuff on Patreon. We think you'll like it. We make sure that the value is there, which really showed this month preparing for Charlie's vacation.
So it did, indeed.
It was like another punch in the face, but it's always fun. It's always a good time. You can literally hang out with us and go hang out.
That's so much fun.
Once a month, we watch movies together and chat about it on Netflix.
And if you join either of those, we appreciate that so much. And it's so much fun talking to the people we get to speak at.
Speak at.
Yeah.
We're not talking, we're speaking at. But seriously, thank you guys so much for listening and engaging with us. And as always, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre
podcast, as bizarre as you are.